This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series, Should Christians Fast and Pray? And it's pretty obvious that Christians should pray, but many Christians, in fact, probably the majority of Christians, don't fast on a regular basis. But this time of year, Catholics, Roman Catholics do fast. Commonly, they're fasting from eating red meat on Fridays and eating fish instead, and spend extra time in prayer. I have several friends that are Roman Catholics, and I know that they've told me that they spend extra time in prayer. And one movement that has actually been started based on Lent, this Lenten period, is it is a movement where Christians go out. It's called 40 Days for Life, where Christians go out to the abortion mill during the Lenten period and actually pray for the end of abortion and pray to see that God would move on the hearts of the mothers that are coming in, that they would save the life of their children. But we as Christians, really, the Bible says that we should pray and that we should fast. And God didn't limit it to just a certain period of time. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray, if God calls you to pray, if you feel led to pray, if by chance you want to fast. He actually said, when you fast, do it this way. And he was actually talking about, not anointing your face, not looking like you're fasting. You know, in the Old Testament, there were several periods of time where nationally there was a call to fast and pray and turn back to God and repent of your sins. And one of the signs of this was to put sackcloth and ashes on. And I don't think that Jesus was actually putting down that practice. But what had happened in the Jewish people is that it became popular to look like you are humbling yourself, to look like you are seeking God, to look like you are fasting, to make it so that everyone else can see you, and so that they'll think that you're more righteous and more holy than they are, and perhaps even than you are. And Jesus was really coming against this, that they should actually do this, to do it for God. But he says, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast. Also in Matthew chapter 17, we read, and by the way, I'm just reviewing some of the things that we've talked about in the last few weeks. If you miss any of those sermons, you can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle, and you'll be able to actually watch those previous sermons. But Jesus, there was a man that brought his son to Jesus to see if Jesus could help him, because his son was demon possessed, and the demons would torment him and sometimes even cast him into the fire. And he brought him to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't help him. And Jesus said, Jesus said, you know, that they were, you know, perverse and that they were faithless. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And they the man brought the boy to Jesus. Jesus cast out the demon. And the disciples said, well, why couldn't we cast out the demon? You know, we tried. Why couldn't we cast him out? And he says, you know, that this kind doesn't come out except through prayer and fasting. And notice that Jesus didn't have to fast to cast him out. Why? Because Jesus had been fasting on a regular basis. This was a part of his life. He spent time praying. He spent time fasting before God. Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, between the time that he was baptized in water and also was baptized in the Holy Spirit at that time, and the time that he actually physically started his ministry, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And you can read about that in Luke. And the Bible says that he entered that fast filled with the Holy Spirit, but he came out of that fast in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's something that happens that to us where we become more like God, and we put down ourselves and crucify our flesh and align with God, and God's power is able to flow through us as we pray and fast. And Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 9 that after he was departed, after he went to heaven, that his disciples would fast. Now, we went over and we started going over some of the things to remember when you fast, because we're gonna use the same words of Jesus. We're not gonna say if you fast or if you decide to fast, but when you fast, we need to, you know, we're gonna assume if you're a Christian that you're going to fast because Jesus said you should fast. And if you're a Christian, then and you say you love God, you should keep his commandments. This is what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. One of the things Jesus said we should do is fast. So you should be fasting on a regular basis. And again, not just during Lent. And your fast may not just be limited to not eating red meat on a certain day. And some of the things to realize here is that although fasting should be a part of every believer's life, the length, manner, and substance of the fast are between you and God. One of the things that we talked about last week, you know, some people, as we have mentioned already, some people are fasting red meat on Friday. Well, to me, that's not a big deal because I don't eat any meat. But you know, to you, it might be a big deal. My mom, I mentioned last week, my mom went on a sugar fast when I was a teenager. I went on that with her. She came off of it, and I just pretty much stayed on it. I have had some relapses, probably, you know, since that time when I was a teenager. I probably have eaten sugar about 2 years out of my life. And so the substantial, you know, really, I've been not eating sugar or fasting sugar for longer, for more years than I've actually eaten sugar. So some of the things you may actually realize, I don't even need this. And I remember one time, in fact, I was fasting and I broke my fast by eating a Hershey's candy bar. And I immediately had a headache. And I said, wow, you know, I've been having headaches. Maybe I shouldn't be eating these Hershey's candy bars. And I stopped eating candy bars. And you know, so you can actually have situations like that where when your body is cleansed from certain types of food and then you see the reaction that your body has to that food, maybe that's something that you shouldn't have in your body on a regular basis anyway. Some people, we mentioned last week that Daniel and his friends, when they were locked up, when they were actually taken as captives to a foreign land and they were serving the king of Babylon, that they actually were given all kinds of meat that had been sacrificed to idols, and they didn't want to be defiled. And of course, this meat wasn't kosher, so they didn't want to eat this. And they asked that they be given pulse, which was like vegetables. And they those people that were over them allowed them to eat vegetables for a certain period of time, and they examined them to see if they were strong, you know, and healthy and looked good, and they did. So they allowed them to eat that way, and that's been known as the Daniel fast. And some people go on a Daniel fast. There are people that will fast from food but drink water. There are people that will fast food and water. And now, if you do that, just realize that you know, most people can live without food for maybe 80 or 90 days before they would die from starvation. You know, people go on hunger strikes, and you may have heard about someone going on a hunger strike. Typically, they can live for 80 or 90 days. A lot of times they'll come off of the hunger strike around that time. But going without water for over 3 days, you can actually start becoming loopy. And I do have a friend that did this for 7 days, but he had medical supervision. Biblically, there are some examples. Moses actually did a fast, a food and water for 40 days. He then went down to the camp when he was received. He was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights when God gave him the Ten Commandments. And then he went down. He realized that they had that they were sacrificing to a foreign god, that Aaron had actually made a calf, and the children of Israel were worshiping this calf. He broke those stones. He broke those tablets, went back up on the mountain. The Bible doesn't tell us whether he ate food that day or not, but he did then went another 40 days and 40 nights without food and water. That was a miraculous fast. You know, so if you think you're called by God to fast for 40 days and 40 nights, fasting food and water, just know that had better be from God. And that was a supernatural fast that Moses went on, and it would be one for you as well. There are some people, when I started fasting, I would actually fast all day. So I would eat supper one night. I wouldn't eat anything the next day. And then the following morning, I would eat. And my mom said, you know, you're actually fasting like, you're fasting like 36 hours. That's longer than a day. And my intent was to fast for a day. And she said, you know, if you eat supper one day and you eat supper around the same time the next day, that's a 24-hour fast. And so I started doing that. And it actually is a lot easier, because you don't start out the next morning weak and tired and hungry. You can actually start out the next morning kind of normal. There are people, you know, the Muslims actually will go through a fasting period where they eat food at sundown, and they don't eat until the next sundown. Now, we're not Muslim. Muslims aren't Christians. They're not going to heaven unless they repent of their sins and confess their sins before God and ask God to forgive them. Unless the blood of Jesus is applied to their lives, they're going to hell. And if you haven't repented of your sins, then you're going to hell also. But God calls us to repent of our sins and to cry out to Him and to allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse our bodies and or to cleanse us of sin, and our sins can be forgiven. But I just mentioned that the Muslims, to mention, you know, one type of fasting. There are some people that will fast from food, but they'll drink water and also drink vegetable juices, maybe even juices that they make if they have their own juicer, carrot juice, celery, beets, and other types of juices. I mentioned last week that I actually don't drink or don't eat anything every morning. Every morning, I don't eat anything, and I'm able even to run. I'm able to run even half marathon distances with only drinking carrot juice and and green juice and other vegetables mixed in there with some electrolyte mix. I have plenty of energy. In fact, I have run later in the day after having eaten, and it's much harder. You know, you have the food moving around in you, your body's trying to digest the food, and then you're trying to run a half marathon. It's actually, I have enough energy from the food that I ate the day before to even be able to run a half marathon distance. And I don't say that to brag, just to let you know that, you know, even though, you know, we're told often that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, well, what does breakfast mean? It means break fast. Well, you could break your fast. You know, most people are not eating overnight. You know, if you're asleep, you could break your fast later in the day. And even when I run, sometimes I don't eat lunch until 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And I'm still okay. I still, you know, I'm not weak. Now, by the way, we'll go over this in just a little bit, but fasting, typically if you're fasting for an extended period of time, longer than just since the previous night, you're going to be weak. You know, if you're fasting for 2 or 3 or 4 days, if you're fasting for a week, if you're fasting for 40 days, you're not going to have as much energy. You're going to need to sleep more. It's not easy to do that. I wouldn't go on a week-long fast and get up and run a half marathon. I really probably couldn't do that. If I did, I would be in bad shape the rest of the day. So you just have to realize that there are some differences and there are different ways to fast. But the people that are fasting where they're doing juice fasting have an added benefit of not only separating themselves unto God and not only devoting themselves and putting away certain foods and things that they desire and things that are really they normally would eat, to set aside that time and to pray and to seek God. So they not only have that spiritual benefit, but they also have a physical benefit that, in addition to giving their body time to rest and their digestive system time to rest, they're also giving their body lots of nourishment and nutrition through the fruit and vegetable fast. You could even go on a smoothie fast, you know. There's a whole bunch of different ways that you can fast. Some people will fast from TV. Some people will fast from other types of entertainment. The Bible even talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that husbands and wives can, for a period of time, actually fast from physical intimacy. This is something I heard Elizabeth Elliot talking about this when she was young, when she was maybe a teenager. She was in a foreign land and living with a family, and she actually slept in the bedroom of the husband and wife, and she slept on the floor. And apparently, this husband and wife, the fact that she was there in the room didn't stop them from being physically intimate. But she said during this one period, and it might have been during Lent, that they actually totally abstained from physical intimacy during this period of time. And so there are Christians that is something that you can do. So pray and ask God how God would have you to fast. By the way, there are some people that have physical limitations. I've had about half of my intestines removed. I don't digest as much of the food that I eat. And I don't have as much fat on me. If I were to go on a 40-day and 40-night fast, well, you know, people might stop seeing me, you know, if I turn sideways. So, you know, the thing is, there are certain limitations to what you have, what you're doing. Just ask God what He would have you to do, but give it a try and commit. And it's going to be difficult at first. I mentioned last week how when I first started fasting, I would open up the cupboards and I would look at the food and I wanted it so bad. I really, really, really wanted to just eat that food. And I would just tell myself, no, you can't have that. But I wanted to be so close to it. But it was a big struggle. Now it's not a struggle at all. One day this week, I was actually busy. I had a busy day at work, and I didn't eat until supper, and I was okay. I'm used to it because of my normal fasting. It wasn't something that was extraordinary to me. Fasting can have physical benefits as well as spiritual benefits. Allows your body to cleanse. It allows you to cleanse your body of your body is going to cleanse of toxins. This happens every night. Even as I mentioned last week, even if you didn't have any toxins in the food that you eat and the air that you breathe, you have cells that are breaking down, and your body breaks down cells overnight while you're sleeping. And in the morning, it's trying to get rid of those. When we eat, it stops that process, that detoxification process. Well, if you go on a one-day fast, or a two-day fast, or a three-day fast, or a seven-day fast, well, your body is going to cleanse itself. One of my friends, I know someone that actually went on a 40-day fast, and he said that before he was done with that fast, that his breath smelled like baby's breath because his body had been able to get rid of the toxins. He didn't have all the pollutants in his body anymore. But know this, that while the toxins are coming out, they can be a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. You can be uncomfortable. You might have headaches. You might have even rashes. You probably will have more body odor and breath odor as your body is releasing toxins. So be aware of that. Maybe take an extra bath. Use some extra deodorant that day. Brush your teeth an extra time. Even though you're not eating, brush your teeth and floss. Try to be aware, especially if you're around other people. These are some things to remember. Spend time in prayer and seeking God, and realize that we must decrease, but he must increase. This was from John chapter 3, verse 30. That was the words of John the Baptist. He must increase, but I must decrease. Well, as Christians, when we come to God, there are parts of our nature that are sinful, and we need to actually decrease those parts and actually allow God to flow through us and to move through us. The Bible talks about crucifying the flesh, Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, that if we are Christ, we crucify the flesh. Now, this is a very, very vivid picture here, putting to death the flesh. Now, it's not talking about physically hanging on a cross until you die. What it's talking about is your sinful desires, putting those down, killing those. Romans chapter 6 talks about that our body was died with Christ, but we have been made alive through him, through his resurrection. So we are to actually discipline ourselves. The Apostle Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 9 about disciplining himself so that he could finish his race, the race of living his life as a Christian. He could finish that and win the prize of going to heaven rather than being disqualified. Some of the things to realize here, again, one of the things I mentioned last week, your body and your digestive system will rest during, if you're going through a total fast or even a juice fast, your digestive system will be able to rest. 7 days, every 5 to 7 days, your entire lining of your intestines is every cell is replaced. So this is an awesome opportunity. If you're having some digestive issues, if you're having some intestinal problems, allowing your body to cleanse itself and then to repair itself is a great thing. One of the things though is that, again, you need to realize after 3 days of not eating food, your digestive system will shut down. So if you do start eating, or when you start eating again, It's important to do that properly. Maybe start with some juice, start with some soft fruit, start with a smoothie, with something that's really easy to digest and allow your digestive system to wake up a little bit slowly. One of the things that you need to realize is that when you're fasting, if you're fasting for an extended period of time, not just one day, you're going to have less energy. If you go on a 7-day fast, if you go on a 3-day fast, if you go on a 40-day fast, you're going to have less energy. In Psalm 109, the psalmist talks about being his knees are weak through fasting and his flesh is feeble from lack of fatness. And so, you know, this is something that you need to realize is that, you know, you're going to need to probably rest more. Most people probably would not be able to actually go on a 40-day fast because you need to get up, you need to go to work or go to school or something like that. School teachers could probably do it in the summertime if they wanted to dedicate 40 days. You know, there are some people that could do it, but most people really won't be able to go on a 40-day fast unless you're just able to take that much time off of work, because you probably will need to spend time resting, extra time resting, but also spending extra time praying and seeking God. God does care more about our heart than our outward expressions, and realize that Jesus says, again, when you fast. So this is something that, again, be praying and asking God, how would you have me to do this? How would you want me to fast? And look at, you know, whatever, consider whatever limitations you might have, but do fast. And fast on a regular basis, not just during the Lenten period, but take time to set apart and to say, when you fast, you're saying, God, you are more important than even my body that needs food. You're more important. You're the most important thing in my life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.